Well, thank you for taking time to join me for the Divine Mercy Chaplet. It is a powerful prayer. And boy, we're getting some wonderful results from it. I want to thank everyone who's taken the time to sit down and write their answered prayers and forward them to me. They inspire me. They help my own faith, and I know they help the faith of so many others. We had a call, I guess it was last week, of a mother who called in. She was worried about her son. I think it was her son. He had to go to the emergency room. She found him hanging, tried to commit suicide. Don't know how long he was there. He was unresponsive. You know, normally with the loss of oxygen or blood flow, there's brain damage. There's all sorts of other problems. She called back last week, and I really hope she'll write the story down in greater detail and testify to the miracle that this prayer was, how it resurrected her son, how it really worked a miracle to the point where doctors were saying, we're just amazed. We've never seen anything like this, right? That is the power of prayer. Nothing is impossible for God. All things are possible for him. This person says, Joe, I want to thank you. My husband's CT scanned, showed no problems. He's now being sent to an orthopedic doctor to identify his cause. But I want to praise God for another miracle in helping me to have his doctor as a primary care doctor. He wasn't taking new patients, but he decided to take me. I was having a problem getting a good primary when my doctor retired. I've been praying for healing. I'm so grateful for your ministry and for so many people who pray with you. Well, Lori, thank you for taking the time to write. Those emails I like in particular because, you know, so often we pray for the big things, the cancer, the resurrection, the, you know, whatever the problem is, the broken marriage, all these really, the addiction, the really difficult things. But God wants to hear every prayer. He wants you, he told you, he says, ask, seek, knock. You know, you're going to get what you ask for if you turn to God with faith and with trust. And I really do believe that, even with these little prayers. You know, help me to find a good doc. I moved to a new area, you know. Why not, right? The Lord will answer that. I can't find my keys, right? Or whatever it might be. You know, somebody's praying for their sick pet and they think, I can't call in because these intentions are so big. The Lord wants your heart and he wants your intentions. So let's bring them to him. I'm going to ask you to pray for one of my team members here. You know, Maggie's been with me for the past week. Tom is another great producer on the show. And I like to say Maggie and Tom are my left and right hand. I couldn't do this job without either of them. And Tom has been out and really under the weather. He's not ill, but his daughter, Regina, we've been praying for. 32-year-old young woman, beautiful young girl, was diagnosed with cancer, ended up in the hospital to have emergency surgery on her brain. They brought her from Houston back to Minnesota where he's located. And he called me pretty distraught yesterday. He says, Drew, man, Tom, how you doing? He says, I'm not well. I am just not doing well. He's losing weight. He's not sleeping well. And he's overwhelmed, as you can only imagine. You might have been down this path. His daughter was unresponsive yesterday, very listful, couldn't squeeze his hand, couldn't move her foot. So they took her to the ER, and the doctors told them that the cancer now is, you know, enveloped at least half the brain. It's all throughout the brain, and it's in her lymph system, and you know, they've got to make some serious decisions in the days ahead. So he's really overwhelmed. If you pray for Regina, that's her name, and pray for Tom and his wife, Therese, and their whole family, I know they'd be very grateful for that. Also, Pam, thank you for writing to me. I want to send a shout out to Pam. She says, today is my mother's birthday. She's 88 years old. She has collected her daughters to be with her today, and her health has declined, but she wants us to be with her, and she's praying to accept God's will and that she can endure this phase of life. She asks that we all pray together, which is very unlike her, as she's a very private prayer person. And I asked her if we could tune into the Divine Mercy Chaplet this afternoon and pray. So we are certainly going to pray for you today on your 88th birthday. I just want to say, Diva, happy birthday. 88 wonderful years. I know your daughter well, and you've raised a beautiful daughter, which I'm sure you're very, very proud of. I'm sure all your daughters you're very proud of. So we'll lift you up. I want to lift up everyone having a birthday, everybody that is having difficulty that might be in decline or struggling with their health. We'll bring them to the Lord, and together we'll pray for one another. Maggie's going to pray with me today, and it's always good to have her on the other side of the mic. Maggie, anything you want to lift up or start off, pray with?
Yeah.
Pray about?
You know what? I I'm on day two right now of a surrender novena for some personal intentions. So I'm praying that that goes well, and I can hopefully see some fruits of that soon.
Can I ask you, what is a surrender novena? Where'd you get it? It's like that litany of humility. You pray that and you want to die. It's like, I almost don't want to pray it because it's so hard.
I know.
But the surrender novena sounds good.
Well, I talked with my best friend this weekend. Shout out to Annie if she's listening. But, I was just explaining some things, in my personal life. And she was like, you need to do the surrender novena. She's like, my mom just did it. And she said it's kind of been rocking her world. So I was like, okay. Sure. So, there's a couple prayers. And then basically towards the end of it, each day you say 10 times, oh, my Jesus, I surrender myself to you. Take care of everything. Amen. So,
I love it. That's where we got to be. You know, the more you trust, the more you receive. God's got a plan. Let's pray. Let's pray for your situation now, wherever you might be, whatever you're going through today, whatever difficulty you face. Ask God to give you the grace to surrender, because he will not let you sink. You know, he will not let you fall. You'll be in his loving embrace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell on the third day. He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's pray for peace in the world, too. All right, we'll pray for a peaceful resolution of what's happening in Ukraine, and that war does not spread. Certainly that nuclear weapons are never used. Our first call comes from Mary, praying with us in Minneapolis. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. My friend Patty is driving up to Maine from Wisconsin to be with her dad and her mom. Her mom's in memory care and took a bad fall and is seriously declining. It might be the last time Patty gets to visit with her. And on the way there, they found out that her brother just committed suicide this morning. They are just distraught they're driving to tell dad that his son has died. And it's a really tough situation. So just asking prayers for her brother Chris's soul, repose of his soul, for his wife Melissa and their three young adult children.
Gosh, it's so sad.
Yeah, it's a really tough situation. So for peace, for comfort, for God's mercy on Christopher's soul, and for, the shock of suicide is so hard on families. So to have peace.
Well, Mary, thank you for calling. Let's pray for you, too. All right. We'll pray for all your personal intentions. And let's really lift up this family. My heart goes out to them. I just, I pray to God I never have to drink from that bitter cup, that I never get that phone call. And Lord, I pray for those who mourn today, especially those who've lost loved ones by acts of violence, tragedy, by suicide. And all I can do is bring them to you and ask for your loving and your merciful embrace. And that you bring good out of this situation somehow. I pray for those that they've left behind, that you comfort them, and you bring healing to them. And Lord, I trust in your mercy. I believe in it so completely. And I know that you hear these prayers. And we pray for this man and all who have taken their life. And that between this side of eternity, between this side of life and next, that you intercede. And that you meet them as a merciful Savior. You give them the grace, the opportunity to choose you. And Lord, I just give you these intentions. Of course, Mary and all the other ones that have been voiced as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right. Lupe is praying with us in Torrance, California. Lupe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for accepting my call.
You're welcome.
I'd like to ask prayer for my niece. She's been in a coma for about 3 weeks. And her eyes open up for a second, but they close, and they put oxygen through a pipe to her stomach. But they say as soon as they pull that, she could die. But I'm praying in the name of Jesus that he returns her back.
Well, we're going to pray with you, Lupe. All right?
Thank you. You
hang in there. My heart goes out to you. I mean, I know how much you love your niece. And I love that.
There's another niece that Thursday, they're having her funeral with a virus that she died of.
Oh, my gosh.
I believe more because of sadness. They wouldn't let the family, nobody talk to her or see her. I know she died of sadness.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Our Lord is so big.
He is. Well, let's pray right now. And I love your prayer. You know, you said in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, you want her to come out of this coma and to be healed. You know, we know what Scripture tells us, right? Every knee shall bend at that name. Every head shall bow. And there's a power in the name of Jesus. So we call upon that. We're going to repeat that over and over again in this next decade. And Lord, I just ask for Lupe, you comfort her. You comfort her family. You comfort those who mourn. Again, I pray for those in comas and in these impossible situations that have been given death sentences because of cancer, whatever the debilitating disease is. You bring healing and miracles to them. And I thank you for how many miracles are being reported on a daily basis here. And I ask that they just continue. Do you hear these prayers? You hear these prayers. You know, the Lord told St. Faustine, he says, you know, he says, tell me everything that concerns you. Everything, big and small, right? Even the smallest details. Tell me everything because it gives me joy. And St. Faustina answered the Lord. He says, but you know everything, Lord. And you know what the Lord said? Yes, I do know everything. He says, but don't excuse yourself from the fact. With childlike simplicity, talk to me. With childlike simplicity. And that's what the Lord wants. So as we pray for these incredible intentions, as we pray for even the small ones, tell the Lord everything. And with childlike faith, let's call upon his name, Jesus. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement of our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Maggie, we got Twitter today? Or
we do, yeah.
Good. Maggie monitors the Twitter account here, at Drew Mariani Show. Please send us your petitions there. Write to us. Communicate with us. You can get me at Drew Mariani Show as well. Be great. Or at Drew Mariani, too. You can get me personally as well as at the show. And we want to pray for you. We want to hear about your answered prayer. So, Maggie, what's coming in?
Letitia wrote to us, actually, this came in last week. I wasn't able to get to it last week. So she said, I'm writing to ask for a miracle. My dear friend Maureen's mother, named Darlene, is a senior who has suddenly been taken gravely ill. She lives alone but has good neighbors, and her neighbors noticed that she was having slurred speech and irregular walking patterns and was not her usual happy self. So it turns out that she has a large mass pressing on her nerves that are inoperable. So she's just asking for prayers of healing, that the doctors can figure this out, that she might be healed. Let's pray for Darlene. Barbara wrote to us. She said, please pray for a miracle to heal the cancer on my daughter's face and chest.
Wow.
Anna wrote to us. She said, please pray for my complete healing and recovery from a stroke and protection from a new illness that I have. G wrote to us and said, my best friend and colleague lost her baby boy Ryan during childbirth on Saturday.
Oh.
This was their first baby, and my heart aches for them.
Sad.
I know. Brenda wrote to us and said, please pray for my marriage. We're struggling right now. We've been married for 35 years, and we'd also like to pray for our children to return to the faith, especially for our grandchildren. And then T. Wallace wrote to us and said, please pray for someone who is hurting due to personal and work issues. I've been praying for her to meet someone that shares the faith and help her get back towards God. And yeah, that's it for today.
Let's pray. We'll bring Barbara into the conversation too. She's listening in Rosemont, Minnesota, praying with us there. Hi, Barb. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I would like to pray for my brother-in-law, Alan. He fell when he was attempting to move his deer stand and broke his back internal injuries. And he is now in a nursing home, and it's very hard for him to be there. He's down in the dumps. And I'd also like to pray for my sister-in-law, Jerry, who is in a wheelchair and has been for 40-plus years. But she developed an open wound, and the wound has gotten pretty deep, and she had surgery on it over a month ago. And she developed shingles. So she has lost a lot of strength because she was in the hospital for 3 weeks and not able to be up at all in her chair. And so she's no longer able to transfer without help. So it's been really hard for her. Just praying for them.
Well, let's pray for a miracle. All right, let's pray that as a result of these prayers today with our family here, there's going to be a radical change. All right, that healing is going to begin. Things are going to change for the better. And Heavenly Father, I bring to you Barb and all these intentions. I pray for anyone who's the victim of accident or tragedy. I mean, falling from a deer stand and breaking your back, open wounds that don't heal, those battling with paralysis. So I give you all the intentions we heard. And I bring to you everyone who's praying with me now. And I just ask today you intervene in their lives. They feel your presence, that you amaze them with your generosity, your providence, your healing. And I just thank you for the way you are working. I know you bring good out of every situation. Even though we may not see it now, we know that you bring good. God wills your good. God loves you more than anybody else does or ever will. Remember that as you pray, all right? God loves you deeply. He hears these prayers. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Waco, Texas is on deck. Maria is joining us from there. Hi, Maria. Good afternoon.
Hello, Drew. Thank you for taking my call. I want to pray for my dad. He was fighting cancer. There was no treatment. He was put in hospice. Last Wednesday, he had a stroke, and he has been in the hospital. but today they removed, at noon they removed the machine that was helping him breathe. And they said it could be minutes or hours, and he's still here with us, Drew, so that's a miracle.
Amen.
But I want to pray for his soul, and I want to pray for my family, for, so that we all can be in union. And my brother, who is in prison right now, and I know it's hard for him. And also for the soul of my 17-year-old brother who passed away 3 years ago.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, my gosh. You're through so much suffering, Maria. You know, my heart goes out to you. I know exactly where you are today because I remember when my father was dying. He was approaching death. And we can pray for your father now. We'll pray for healing, of course. But life's a journey, too. God created us to live forever, to be with him. And I think one of the great gifts that we have today is this chaplet of divine mercy, because the Lord said, whoever will recite it, you know, will receive great mercy at the hour of their death. And when this is prayed by others, such as you and I, the grace is the same. You know, the grace is the same. Pray as much as you can for those at this moment. So, Lord, I pray for Maria's father. I pray for those approaching death, those who you're calling home today. I pray for those that are left behind. And I just pray for every one of her intentions. And I bring to you now the rest of your spiritual children and your family here. And I give you them and their intentions as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, our fifth call today comes from Joe, listening to us in Otsego, Minnesota. Hi, Joe, good afternoon.
Hey, Drew, thanks for taking my call, and thanks for everything you do.
Thank you.
I just want to ask for prayers for my 12-year-old son, Aiden, who's got an upcoming major heart surgery.
Oh, boy. Well, let's put him in the hands of the divine physician, Joe. Look, you hang in there. When's the surgery? When's that coming up? How far off is that?
Within the next month or two. Just talked to the surgeon today,
good.
It's pretty serious.
It gives us a chance to pray. All right, we're going to keep praying for him. He's down on our prayer list here, and our whole spiritual family is going to be praying for him as well. 12 years old. Lord, I just entrust this young boy to you, and I always ask this of him. I ask that he be a divine mercy miracle and a testament to your mercy. And we dedicate his life to mercy, Lord, that you envelop him and you watch over him. And we pray for Joe as a father. I can't imagine the torment. I know what it's like to, you know, see your child sick. It's hard, and I just say you fortify him and all those that love this young man, and I ask you for miracles, Lord, and I ask you to dissuade and do away with any anxiety that might fill the heart of those who are praying now. You know, fear and anxiety, the Lord said, are dangerous obstacles to our spiritual life. You know, they're dangerous, and they'll deprive you really of the grace that you need. So don't give in to that. Do not give in to discouragement. If you're going through a difficult time right now, instead, all the more glorify God by trusting in his mercy. So Lord, I give you right now, Joe, I give you Robin and Francisco and Bernadette and Maria and Sophia and Christine and Barbara and Patty and everyone else that's on hold here and everyone who's written to us and everyone united with us in prayer. Thank you for this gift. Thank you for this prayer. And we pray, Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady, Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for
us. Our Lady of Fatima,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escriva,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sapochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Send us your petitions at Twitter at Drew Mariani Show, or Drew at Relevant Radio. Send our answer prayers there too. I'd love to read those. Tell others about the chaplet, and be sure and join me every day. I just heard an ad run talking about the pilgrimage I'm going to be on. I'm very excited about it. For more information, just go to relevantradio.com/holyland, and I hope you can join me. It'll be great. All right, I'm going to be back. I don't know if you heard what went down at the Oscars. I do want to give a little perspective on that. I have a theory on that punch or slap from, I want to say, Will Smith, and he hit Chris Rock. Of course, if you didn't hear about it, I'll fill you in. But we'll talk about that and a lot more. Stay with me.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio Studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
Making radio great again. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, you make it great. You do. I love hanging out with you. I love spending my afternoons with you. I love praying that chapel of Divine Mercy, man. There's a power in it. There's a grace in it. I feel so peaceful afterwards. And, of course, what I do here on this broadcast, I'm a current event, news-driven show, and I try to look at what unfolds in your world through the eyes of our faith, with a moral underpinning. And we can talk about anything in this broadcast, whether it is the war in Ukraine, whether it's education, whether it's the battle for life, or whether or not it's popular culture. And last night, you know, my wife and I, we had a long weekend and we were settling down, and I knew the Oscars were on. I saw an ad or a tease for it. And I said, do you want to watch it? And then I said, you know what? Let's not watch it. I don't want to waste my time watching the Oscars. That's pretty much what I said. I could care less about it, really. I knew people would probably be talking about it. Last year, the Oscar ratings were in the basement. They were horrific. I think they were worst ever. This year's Oscar, of course, has gotten a lot of buzz recently. Well, and I'll tell you what went down if you're not up to speed on what happened. A second lowest ratings. I mean, people are just tuning out of these award ceremonies, right? I don't know if you care about them. That era of the celebrity and seeing what they're wearing and watching them give each other accolades. And I think part of the problem is they push this leftist agenda, really. They get up there and instead of saying, hey, thank you, I worked hard at this role and I've learned, you know, they're talking about the Green New Deal or how bad the president is or, you know, whatever. I mean, whatever their personal agenda is, or whatever their ideology is, that's what they use this platform to advance. I mean, especially during the elections, we saw this. you know, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, when it comes to, you know, all sorts of things, abortion, et cetera. Even, Amy Schumer? It's Amy Schumer who was there last night. She made a comment. I didn't see it, as I said, so I'm just sharing this with you. And you're more than welcome to join me. She made a comment. Maggie, actually, open your mic, because you were the one sharing this one with me. Share what Amy Schumer was saying about the state of Texas.
Yeah, it was her and the other host. They said something along the lines like, this broadcast is for everyone in the U.S. except for you, Florida, because of the Don't Say Gay bill. So we're just going to say gay, gay, gay. And they just like danced around and said gay. And I was like, you clearly didn't even read the bill. Like, that's not it.
Right. No, exactly. So our point, I mean, this is a national platform, international platform in some respects to advance their own ideology. Well, last night, and again, I think numbers were probably better last night, because of the fact that YouTube and social media started talking about what happened. I don't know if you caught any of this story or not. Apparently, Chris Rock was the host for the evening, and he made a comment about Will Smith's wife, and Will Smith did not take to it as well. He was making a joke about, well, here, let me play for you what went down, and then we'll go through this. We'll explain what happened, and let's talk about some of the moral lessons to be learned. Listen to this.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right? that was a nice one. Okay. I'm out here. Uh-oh. Richard. Oh, wow. Wow. Will Smith just smacked the shit out of me.
Get my wife's name out your mouth.
Wow, dude.
Yes.
It was a G.I. Jane joke.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth.
I'm going to, okay?
So that was, of course, Will Smith. He walked up on stage. He smacked Chris Rock. Chris thought, whoa, what's going on? I just got hit by Will Smith. But Smith goes back down to his chair, and you heard what he was saying. Profane language there. Of course, Will Smith and his wife's what? Pinkett? Is that her name? What's her? Jada. Jada, they've been married for years. She struggles with an autoimmune condition, and in the result of it, she is losing her hair. My heart goes out to her and stuff. So her decision, she wears a shaved head, and that's what that joke was in reference to, kind of her G.I. Jane look, you know? So Smith didn't take kindly to it. I mean, we can talk about this today, and James Hurston's going to be stopping by here, and we'll get his take on it. My first reaction is that is a stunt, right? A lot of people are saying it's not, but I'm thinking that has got to be a stunt. Why slap him? Why girl slap him? Why not punch him? Right? If you're really that angry, right? If I'm going to assault somebody and be sued or possibly go to jail. And by the way, Chris Rock is not pressing charges. Why do that and then go down and act all tough? But then again, other people say, well, what's the purpose of it? Who does it benefit? You know, I mean, is it a stunt? There's a body language expert that has weighed in on whether or not Will Smith's Oscar slap was staged. And she analyzed the behavior. She looked at Chris Rock. She looked at Will Smith's wife, looked at Will Smith. And she says it wasn't. She says it was not staged. After watching the footage, a lot of people are convinced, like, this is a setup, you know. But this woman, I think it was a woman that did this. Or maybe it's a guy. I forget who it was. Anyway, they're known as like a human lie detector. And they say they could not have faked that level of emotion. I don't know. They're actors, right? They're winning Oscars. I don't know. Here to break it down for us and talk about, you're more than welcome to join us too. Feel free to sound off. The number is 888-914-9149. I'm joined by none other than James Hurston, New York Times bestselling author. And he's also an international business attorney, a news analyst, a great cultural commentator. And he's been with us many times. You can follow him at the Jim Jams. And get connected to him at jameshurston.com. That's his website as well. Hey, James, I thought of you this morning after I heard about this news report, and I thought, oh, I wonder what James thinks. I'd love your take on what went down and how you see this.
Well, you know, we'll never know for sure whether this was planned whether it was a stunt. But I'm with you. I believe just my feeling about it, and I watched it in slow motion, actually. And there's a few things. You know, we look at it's only circumstantial evidence that we can have. But the fact is, it appeared as though Chris Rock and the security people that normally would react, and the people even around Will Smith, that they all knew this was something was going to happen. Chris Rock seemed to be, in my opinion, I'm not a body language expert, but I grew up in Chicago. We grew up fighting each other in the city. And when somebody's coming at you and they have an angry look on their face, you don't lean toward them. You don't have continuous eye contact. You don't kind of turn your head to make it a perfect target. And if an arm is coming towards you, the natural human inclination is to block the punch.
Yeah, you're right.
And Chris Rock stood motionless and let Will Smith hit him. And here, and maybe in another circumstantial thing is the fact, and I've seen these guys in person, Will Smith is 6'2".
Yeah.
He's in generally in good shape. Chris Rock is about maybe 5'9", maybe at the most 5'10". He's much smaller. And Will Smith was, by all appearances, very angry. If Will Smith took a full-on slap or punch that was where he was following through, I believe Chris Rock would have been knocked down, probably, and not be able to just smile and go on the way he did. Will Smith, pulled his punch. And by the way, he's not just an actor.
Right.
He's a great actor.
Yeah.
He's an action star. He knows how to pull a slap. And if he was really, defending his wife's honor in the heat of passion, he would have punched him. So I'm in the school where if I was forced to bet on it, I bet on it being a stunt. And the Academy has an incredible motive. And you talked about it in your intro. Their ratings, if you look at a chart of their ratings over the last 10 years, it's like a cliff. It's just dropping down. It's down the lowest. It's always, record lows. It's still in record lows, but it ticked up a bit. But you said the magic word. It's a word that Hollywood searches for on every project. It's buzz.
Yeah.
And they haven't been able to get buzz because the Oscars have become this tedious affair with people that most of the public don't know in films they've never seen and don't care to see, and people lecturing them, as unfortunately some of the people like Amy Schumer did with the latest virtue signal. And it's
so true.
And of course, in past Oscars, it would be to put down the previous president. It would be to urge people to get vaccinated, wear masks, and we're all in this together. And now it was, Ukrainian flags and putting down Florida and Ron DeSantis for protecting the innocence of children and empowering parents. So it's one, thing after another. It's interesting because today, just recently, the Academy announced they're going to investigate this matter. So when I believe they know, this. And so we'll, maybe someday Chris Rock and Will Smith will do an interview and it'll come out. But I think they have every motive to do this, and they're setting it up for future award shows.
Yeah, James, hold the thought. I have to take a break when we come back. I know a little bit later, Will Smith was teary-eyed as he, delivered his acceptance speech, and, no music played on it, and let him speak long and went through the whole things. Right now, people are actually praising him for defending his wife's honor. When we come back, we can talk more about that as well. If you want to get in, I only have a few minutes today with James Herson, taking a look at what happened to the Oscars. We'll take a look at some of the moral underpinning to it as well. The number here, 888-914-9149. Call now.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the relevant radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you today. If you're just joining us, Will Smith's Oscar slap has shocked and divided audiences around the country and around the world. In fact, international celebrities have reacted with shock, some with condemnation, in some cases, praise. Praise after actor Will Smith walked on stage. He slapped comedian Chris Rock during the Oscars. Last night in Los Angeles, he made a joke about it was a G.I. Joe, a G.I. Jane joke, referring to, of course, Will Smith's wife, and played out on live television. People were shocked. This, again, was the 94th Academy Award, second lowest, I think, rated ceremony that they've had. I think it was maybe would have been even lower if it wasn't for the buzz getting out there on social media. People saying, oh my gosh, what happened? And tuning in to see what was going to happen a little bit later. But Chris Rock joked about Jada Smith, about her shaved head, and likened her to the movie character G.I. Jane, if you've ever seen that movie. But apparently they have an open relationship. I don't know a whole lot about that, so I want to be careful about what I say. But I've invited today to the conversation James Herson. He's a cultural commentator, a social media scholar, a professor, an attorney, and it's just great to have him here with us today. And James, you and I both were saying, hey, my take, I've been watching the video here too. To me, it looks like a setup. You know, Chris Rock, you know, doesn't really react. If somebody punched me, I'd get in a more defensive posture. He stands back up, puts his hands behind his back. You know, Will Smith walks down all tough, shouts a few words, and the next thing you know, everybody's talking about it as well. The thing I have a problem with is a lot of people are endorsing him, defending his wife's honor. Let's talk about that for a moment, because look, violence, what he did there, if indeed it was authentic, I think communicates a terrible lesson and message to young people around the country and around the world, that the way you solve your problem, or the way that you right or wrong, is you go up and you hit somebody in the face over it. But I'd love your thoughts.
No, I mean, from a moral standpoint, particularly from a Christian standpoint, obviously you over a joke, and not only, you know, not really that mean of a joke. G.I. Jane was a movie that starred Demi Moore, and she had her head shaved. She looked quite attractive.
Yeah.
You know, I just find it, it doesn't seem like it's warranted. Now, they did have a history 6 years ago. Chris Rock told a joke at the expense of Will Smith's wife, Jada Pinkett Smith, as well, kind of making fun of her. Yeah. She was boycotting and, you know, making fun of her celebrity status. Yeah. And Will Smith. So there is a history there. But the idea that, you know, we have certainly a duty, a moral duty, to defend our loved ones when they're in physical danger.
Yeah.
We have to use all means necessary to defend our children, our family, our spouses, but we don't defend with violence over words. We're taught as children the maxim about sticks and stones.
Yeah, I was just thinking.
And so the idea that someone would stroll up while a person is hosting, I mean, if people were going to strike others for jokes that were offensive, poor Ricky Gervais would be in the hospital every time he hosts.
Yeah, I just,
and a lot of the hosts that have, you know, even hosted the Academy Awards would be in trouble. So that's another thing that makes us think it's a stunt, because it seems unwarranted.
I was in Las Vegas once with my wife and some friends, and we happened to have a front row seat to Rodney Dangerfield. And my gosh, you know, the type of things that they say and the way they mock people, I mean, it's just, it's wild. And comedy should be I think there should be a wider berth when it comes to making jokes. As you point out, that was not a bad joke. You know, it was very, you know, moderate. And for Will to come up and actually physically assault someone, of course, no charges were pressing. That's also telling, you know. I think it was a stunt.
Yeah, and that's important from a legal standpoint. I'm a lawyer. That is a crime. It's clearly a misdemeanor. He made physical contact. There's obviously lots of witnesses, and yeah, it was a clear-cut crime. I mean, an arrest could have been made. You know, Will Smith is not going to press charges, and therefore, there's not going to be a prosecution. But but believe me, there could have been. And for people, also not just from a moral standpoint, from a practical standpoint, you're with your wife in a bar where people are drinking, and someone insults your wife. The response, it's not good for your family or you to respond with violence because the average person will get arrested and they may be sued. Yeah. And, you know, that's also a tort, a civil wrong, where in theory, technically, Chris Rock could sue and get punitive damages from Will Smith. So
it's a stunt.
That's not going to happen.
It's a stunt. Hey, and I said Rodney Dangerfield. I meant Don Rickles. You know Don Rickles' humor, right? It was front row in Vegas to Don Rickles. Boy, was he ripping everyone into one, insulting you, doing all sorts of things. But
you hockey puck.
Yeah. So what are you going to do? Get up there and slap him because he said something about my wife? I'm there to be entertained. You know, it's like, come on. You know, there was a tweet that came out. Maggie just forwarded to me from Matt Walsh. He says Will Smith won't tolerate other men making jokes about his wife, but he will tolerate other men having sex with his wife. You know, that's a man of principle. You know, again, they're in this bizarre relationship. To me, James, I think it's just a stunt. I don't know who benefits from it. That's my question. Is it the Oscars, the Academy? I mean, why do this? I mean, who benefits from it other than getting people talking about it?
You know, the old, it's a cliche in Hollywood that there's no such thing as bad publicity. And we live in a time of the social media and that which is viral being the best publicity these days. It's like word of mouth on the internet. And so if this were a stunt, which I believe it is, it creates an automatic viral video, viral set of commentary. It has dominated the social media. And believe me, the people that put on the Oscars are happy because they're thinking, well, next year, we'll get more people tuning in because what kind of unexpected event will happen next year? Yeah. It's kind of the same thinking of reality shows, of the old Jerry Springer show. Yeah. That's what the Oscars were like. Yeah. Now, funny thing is I've talked anecdotally to people. They don't even know that Will Smith won an Oscar.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know because this event has eclipsed all the awards. The Best Picture Award, they don't know which film it was, and nobody's seen it. It's Coda.
True.
And so it's like, you know, it's exactly what the Academy needs is to have this buzz and viral conversation. Hopefully that people would turn in late and pump the numbers up, but also for next year.
Yeah. Well, Will Smith, he did it deliberately. He owes him an apology. There's no excuse for using violence to hit somebody. But again, I, like you, think it was completely staged. My apologies to everyone on hold. I'm grateful for your call. I know you've been holding for a while, but I'm up against the clock here. And James, with the final 60 seconds I have or less, I just want to put a plug in for your writing and your website and your Twitter. What's the best way to follow you and get connected?
Sure. I've been writing for years on Newsmax.com, which people know because it's also now a successful television network. And I have my own website, James Hersen, H-I-R-S-E-N, JamesHersen.com. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook as well under my name.
Sounds great. James, thanks for making time for me. It's always good to talk with you. We'll catch up soon, okay?
Yeah, we'll slap each other. Thank you.
I love it. Have a great one. It's James Hersen. Follow him at the Jim Jam. That's his Twitter handle. When we return, the Army has lowered the bar for women. Wait to hear how low.